Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Remember Guantanamo Bay?
Yeah, it's been a little while since we've talked about Gitmo.
Well, you know what? It's still there.
I remember Barack Obama said he was going to shut it down.
I guess he just, you know, forgot about that promise.
I think it's really important to point out everything that Trump was wrong about, but we've got to forget everything the Democrats have been wrong about.
Yeah, now the mainstream media, for whatever reason, didn't really talk about Guantanamo Bay during the Trump administration. I mean, you would think
they didn't talk about it during Barack Obama's administration that much either.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, when you can believe that if Trump had promised to close Guantanamo, that there would have been story after story after story about how he had failed to do it because the media.
No. They would have opposed it. Because remember when Trump was doing things like withdrawing troops from Afghanistan,
yeah, sure.
The left-wing warmongers and the media were just, they were freaking out. Oh my God, if Trump removes troops from Afghanistan, it is going to unbalance the world powers. It will lead more terrorism into Afghanistan. These claims.
Did Obama promise to close Gitmo before he was elected?
Yes.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. Now, was it in the 2008? Yeah, it was 2008, right?
Right, 2008. And he basically, by 2012, he had more or less abandoned it. What he didn't come out and say was, and this would have been acceptable, is that, ladies and gentlemen, I want to apologize because, it's really not possible to shut down Gitmo. While Free Talk Live has made its bread and butter complaining about how the government operates, one of the critiques of us have been over time is that we don't have alternate solutions. And when my step one in U.S. foreign policy should be stop dropping $10 million bombs on $10
tits. Your problem solved if you don't invade.
It's not solved, though.
It pretty much solves it. I mean, you don't see terrorists attacking the countries that don't invade the Middle East. It doesn't happen.
I suspect that you will find some bad people still.
And in those places? Sure. Of course, there's crazies everywhere. A lot of them are in the government.
And you could turn over the bad guys to those other countries, and I think that would be an interesting solution. Say, hey, we're out of this business. We're not doing it anymore. Mm-hmm. But consider that the United States' position in the world is based on its control of the U.S. dollar, which is based on trade of oil.
So you've given
in the U.S. dollar.
You've given us excuses as to why the politicians don't think they can shut down Guantanamo. Would you shut it down?
I don't see any particular reason for Guantanamo. I would shut it down.
So you would shut it down.
Yes.
Good. So we're on the same page.
Do they torture people there still?
That's what this story is all about. So you have to go over to the UK, in this case, the Daily Star, to get actually, you know, any reporting on Guantanamo Bay. They interviewed a man believed to be their most tortured prisoner. Now, of course, there's still people there.
Do you think we've gotten past the sort of digital Beanie Baby insult about cryptocurrencies or what?
Every time I get on Twitter to look at like what's trending in the news on there, to look for like show prep, there's always a story about cryptocurrency. It's so mainstream.
It's getting there. I mean, there's still, what did I see? There was somebody on Twitter who posted like a survey result. I don't know who it was that did the survey, but whether it was scientific or not, I don't know. But anyway, the survey was asked of whatever group of Americans, what are you going to purchase Bitcoin or something? Are you going to invest in Bitcoin? And 86% of them said no, and 14% said yes. So what he was suggesting was that we're still at the beginning of this thing.
Right. So there's something called an S-curve and an inflection point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you look at the adoption curve of, I don't know, just about everything that we use now ubiquitously, I don't care if it's automobiles or whether it's, the internet, YouTube, whatever it is, you can look at. So this is how they generally look. There's an S curve where for the first X number of years. The same number applies X.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if it's 10 years for the adoption rate to get to 10%. That's the inflection point.
He endured 24-hour interrogation sessions, in between which he was locked in a pitch-black cell, kept icy cold. He was alternatively starved and then force-fed when he told guards that he suffered sciatic nerve pain. They kept him in stress positions to make the pain worse. He says he was also sexually abused by female guards, which he says was painful and humiliating and left him permanently scarred. But the worst moment came when he claimed the guards showed him a forged letter that said his mother was in U.S. custody and was told they planned to rape her. He said that three masked guys came in with a snarling German shepherd and started beating me really heavily. They blindfolded me. I couldn't breathe and later found out I had broken ribs. They took me on a boat and started forcing my head into the sea to swallow seawater. Then they gave me to another team of two who kept beating me, then poured ice cubes between my clothes, then beat me again, then more ice. This went on for maybe 7 or 8 hours.
Wow.
After this particularly excruciating session, Mr. Sahil decided to confess to a crime that he claims he hadn't really committed to make the abuse stop, claiming that he had planned to blow up Toronto's CN Tower. From then, his treatment improved. He was given a pillow, painkillers, and a letter from his mother.
What is the functional difference, really, ladies and gentlemen, between a person doing 12 months in prison and doing, what was the number?
41.
41 months in prison. So if he does, he has to do 85% of that in the federal system. So we'll call it 3 years. He's already spent a year. Right, so he's got a year additional. What's the difference?
Two more.
Really?
Two
what
more
is the difference in him doing 2 more years? I mean, he's already been locked up. Whatever he's going to
learn.
Well,
now he's going to real prison. That's one difference. Instead of he's going to just
yes,
be
but
in the jail.
I'm asking, the average person doesn't know the difference between jail and prison.
That's true.
And what do they think is going to happen? Frankly, jail is worse than prison,
in my opinion. That's what I've heard. Now, we don't know if he's going to be in supermax or if he's going to be in minimum security.
Doesn't seem likely with a 41-month sentence.
But he's got a violent history. Now, when they, I was at his bail hearing, and even though we know Chris Cantwell not to be a particularly violent person, he was at the Charlottesville situation,
yep.
And there was a fight that happened there, and he was involved in that fight.
They dropped charges, correct?
No, he took a guilty plea to a reduced charge of misdemeanor simple assault, I believe it was, in that case.
Wasn't it for pepper spraying someone?
It was, and he says it was for a defensive pepper spraying of someone, but that doesn't matter because he took a guilty plea, and so he has an assault charge on his record. In the process of talking to the cops, he admitted to them that he was indeed the person behind those telegram messages. So if he hadn't have told the cops that he was the person behind those telegram messages, then it could have been anybody who was naming themselves Chris Cantwell and having a feud on the internet with these people, presuming he hadn't called CPS. Obviously, there's probably some phone records involved in that. But they wouldn't have been able to link those Telegram messages to him because Telegram, interestingly, I was at the bail condition hearing. The bail condition hearing was more than a year ago. So they hadn't done the crazy, COVID crackdown, I could go into the court without wearing a mask kind of thing.
Okay.
So I was able to observe the entire bail hearing over a period of 2 days, and they called up an agent who was, he wasn't an FBI agent, he worked with the Manchester police, but he was, their liaison to the FBI, so he worked side by side with the FBI, and so they had this guy on the stand and were asking him questions, and one of those questions was about Telegram, and they also asked him about Bitcoin. Which he barely had a grasp on. But the
Cantwell was getting donations in Bitcoin, right?
Yeah. Regarding Telegram, though, the agent said that they could not subpoena Telegram for any information about the user. They could not get IP address information, for instance. Telegram probably has that information, but they couldn't get it from Telegram because Telegram, interestingly, does not have server locations based in the United States.
Well, the FBI wanted to get Cantwell. And, he was at that point, he was America's most wanted, not in the criminal sense, but sort of the social sense, in Charlottesville. People hated that dude because Cantwell's articulate. That's the reason. He's able to, they did that. Was it Vice that followed him around for a couple of days and then did this long bit on him? And, he's articulate. And, people hated him for it. They don't want somebody who can make this look as good as he was making it look.
Wait, what was he making look good?
He could make his arguments against whatever racial mixing and whatever, Jews, and I don't know even what.
You think that's why the FBI wanted to do something about Chris Cantwell? Because he was articulate?
When he was on Tranny versus Nazi, he didn't make any sense.
Right. Well, this is the problem with the press, okay? So the press doesn't... You hire somebody out of college, right? And they don't know anything about the issues at all. So they go and they do an interview. An interview is considered news. But if you ask, like, they don't even have hard questions. I mean, you know, what's the press going to ask somebody that's difficult? They don't know enough about the subject. You know, I can hope, you know, wish him well, but you're doing much more than that. You're showing him that there's love out there, that he can receive love.
Yeah.
And that's right. Possible for him, because I don't think he believes it.
No. And if everybody gave up on him, then, you know, who knows where he would end up. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's been good. Maybe it hasn't. Maybe it has had no effect whatsoever. But I don't feel like
I don't think that's true from what I've seen and heard.
Yeah,
I think it has had an effect.
So here's
I wouldn't do it.
Well,
most too much
people,
work.
Most people wouldn't. So back to there is a story here. Informant.news has a piece written by Hillary Sargent, who was the one of Cantwell's online, you know, targets. She was lefty, I would say, you know, maybe newsy reporter person or journalist or whatever, who he targeted at some point. I forget what the ostensible reason for that was, but he caught her interest real big after that, and so she's been following his case quite closely. She was there at the sentencing hearing this morning.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
I was telling you about this free stater, state rep, who's in a conflict with the Ware school district moderator in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. And I have an answer to your question. She's saying that he is claiming that she's committing an ethical or conflict of interest wrongdoing by referring to herself as Rep. Cushman. She's a representative. And she says that, quote, he also had dropped hints that he is pursuing some kind of formal or legal action against me for doing so, unquote.
Can someone explain to me how there's a problem with a state representative calling themselves
representative
or rep?
Well, there isn't. And the thing is that entrenched politicians hate free staters more than almost anything else. Maybe they hate conservatives a little bit more sometimes, but, you know, we're like abolitionists. You know, the slaveholders are seeing us under every bed.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty ridiculous what this person is doing, if that is indeed what this person, you know, is doing. Obviously, we're taking it from what she's saying. There's probably another side to the story. So, I don't know. It all seems very, very petty, but that's the sort of thing that you expect to see from people in politics.
Right.
Christopher Cantwell, the New Hampshire neo-Nazi podcaster found guilty of extortion and threats directed at another neo-Nazi, was sentenced today by a federal judge to serve 41 months in federal prison. The crying Nazi, as he had been dubbed previously, because of he was crying because somebody pepper sprayed him, I think it was.
No, no. He was in he did a video where the cops were after him.
Oh, that's
him,
right. And he broke down.
Yeah, he was having a breakdown. I don't know that's whether right. It was drugs or what it was, but he was acting strange.
He cried during the hearing today before District Judge Paul Barbadoro issued the sentence at the in-person hearing this morning in Concord, New Hampshire. Quote, the nature of your behavior is so egregiously wrong that a significant sentence is required, said Barbadoro. Cantwell delivered a rambling and emotional statement, which he began by offering a Mike Tyson quote. Quote, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face, unquote. She says in parentheses, the point he was trying to make was unclear.
It sounds like he got punched in the face and his plan sucked.
Cantwell,
his plan sucked.
Discussed the fact that the charges stemmed from a feud that he had with rival neo-Nazis, a group he had attempted to report to law enforcement. He compared the rival Nazis.
Maybe the plan was to turn in these rival Nazis.
He wanted to do anything he could to get these rival Nazis in trouble, which is why he's in the trouble that he's in, because he talked to the police. Not even Christopher Cantwell would go so far as to call for murdering people in a church, right? Like, he wasn't calling, as nasty as he was on his show and in the articles that he wrote, I never saw him call for people going out and just committing wholesale murder of other people.
Oh yeah, don't they like Dylan Roof?
That's who the Bull Patrol was. Yeah, Dylan Roof was a murderer. He murdered a group of people in a black church in South Carolina several years ago in the last decade. And that's how the Bull Patrol found its name, because he had a bull haircut, the murderer, Dylan Roof, did. And so they made him their idol. And, they're like these incel types, right? They really love when people go around killing other people because they're sick. And that's so they're even lower, in my opinion, of Nazis than Chris Cantwell. So, but that said, let them fight. Let them have their little online spats, because every minute Nazis spend fighting each other is 1 minute less or 1 minute fewer that they can be spending on doing anything else.
Organizing.
Or whatever. Showing up somewhere or, harassing actual people. They're not doing that if they're fighting each other. So the FBI actually freed up these guys' time to go and do other things. How many people call CPS on people all the time and have no repercussions whatsoever for it? They don't like their neighbor, so they call CPS on them. CPS shows up. They may not have been doing anything to their kids. They just didn't like their neighbor, and there's no penalty for calling CPS in most of these cases, right? They don't come back and arrest the person who called CPS if CPS shows up and finds that there was no violation. It's just a tipster.
I'm not going to say that using the violence of the state, because it's the state, is an acceptable form of violence.
It's not acceptable.
It's unacceptable. And what he did was initiate violence against somebody for unjust cause.
No doubt. I mean,
I will agree with you that lots of people do it, and that doesn't make it acceptable.
No, I'm not saying that.
And I call for the incarceration of all of those people for not a very long time, but long enough to learn you don't call CPS on somebody for not abusing their kids. And the term of abuse really ought to be physical, not some airy-fairy idea of what you think abuse is.
Because I bet there are people out there who would agree that being a Nazi is probably not good, if you're a dad or whatever, to your kids. I mean,
there was that story from about a decade ago where they named it, what some Nazis named their kid Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, that's not good.
Well, that'll be interesting in school.
You guys remember when Cantwell was at the Unite the Right rally or whatever, the torch rally? Can I just say what he said on air? Am I allowed to say it?
If it's a cuss word, no.
No, it's not a cuss word, but can I just say
What Jews will not replace us thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty
Jews
awful.
Jews will not replace us.
Wait a second. Dave, do you think that Jews are trying to replace you in your welfare housing?
I just wanted to come up and say that. I've always wanted to say that. Jews.
Why?
Why
do you always want to say that?
Well, what do you think they're going to replace you doing?
Well, I want to know why. Why is that something you want to say?
I have something completely different. I have something completely different that I want to discuss about.
All right, let's get into it.
I was fired from work on January 15th.
Did a Jew take your job?
No, Jews did not take my job. No, I was let go from work on January 15th, all because of a selfie issue.
A selfie issue?
Yes.
Okay, hold on. Before you go on, Dave, for years you called this show and complained about not being able to get a job, so I'm glad to hear you actually had one. Where were you working, and for how long were you working there?
At Instacart. It's a grocery delivery kind of thing. I'm sure you've heard all about it.
I just want to talk about Cantwell's sentencing.
Yes, sir.
I don't agree with everything he's said and done over the years, and I don't like his use of, racial and ethnic slurs.
Mm-hmm.
But you know something? He's been railroaded twice. And I think these charges are completely bogus, and this should really disturb everybody. Because if the government can come after somebody and lock somebody up for saying nasty things or things that some people don't like, that means they can go after anybody, including, you know, including us.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, and that is an important takeaway from what has happened here. First, in this case, they came for the Nazis, to paraphrase the original poem by Pastor Martin Niemöller. In the 1940s, he was a pastor in Nazi Germany, and first he wrote that they came for the trade unionists and they came for the communists, and eventually they came for him. But in this case, it's first they came for the Nazis, and the reason why they go after people like Chris Cantwell is because he's not a sympathetic character.
No,
most people look at him and they are disgusted by the things that he says.
Well, they get kudos too. I mean, hey, you locked up the crying Nazi. Good job. We really hated that guy.
And there's a lot of people right now that are on, you know, Twitter that are touting this, right? Like, oh, rah, 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 they locked up the crying Nazi.
Right.
People are having a tough time out there. Story from the Wall Street Journal says the coronavirus pandemic has caused another kind of pervasive affliction, Harvard researchers say, and that's loneliness. More than one-third of 950 Americans surveyed reported feeling lonely at least frequently in the previous 4 weeks, according to a newly released survey by researchers at Harvard's Graduate School of Education conducted in October. That's higher than the quarter of respondents who recalled feeling serious loneliness in the 2 months before the pandemic, and the 28% of respondents that said they'd experienced increases in the frequency of their loneliness. Young adults and mothers felt especially isolated, according to the survey. Now, this, of course, shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. It wasn't hard for us to predict a year ago when this stuff first started going into effect.
Suicides are going up.
That you were going to see more suicides, you were going to see more depression, you were going to see more drug addiction, more people with alcohol problems, especially those who had beaten those addictions, falling off the wagon, going back to them. And we've seen all of those things.
Is it harder to get heroin now than it was? I wouldn't know.
I don't think it would be. Why would it be harder?
I don't know.
The drug dealers are still doing their business. I guarantee you that. Especially now that there's higher demand.
They're not sheltering in place?
There's likely higher demand for those things now than there has been. That's just my guess. We haven't seen numbers.
All the evidence would go towards that. Yeah. Is that hopeless people. This is a poll about hopelessness. Hopeless people do drugs.
What is the liberal and conservative part?
So a liberal versus conservative. A conservative Quaker would be much more what they call Bible-centric. Mm. So they would believe the things that the Bible says, whereas liberals believe much more in the leading from the light within. So, that if God was speaking to Abraham and Moses and whomever, then he's probably speaking to us, too. And that the words that God speaks to us individually are very likely much more important to you in your life than whatever he told some kook in the desert 3,000 years ago.
So part of what happens at these Quaker meetups is they sit in chairs in a circle and they are quietly basically meditating. I don't know what they call it, but it's essentially a group meditation.
We call it listening to God.
Yeah, and again, another term for essentially the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so when somebody feels called to speak, which doesn't always happen from what I understand, as they're doing that silent meditation, they may feel as though they have something to say. Am I right about this, Mark, where they will then just sort of speak that aloud to the group?
Right. So God moves them to speak is the idea. Now, obviously, you have to have your little filter turned on because it could very well be that somebody doesn't know whether they're being moved or not. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of Quaker writing on whether you should be standing and speaking or not. Is it possible not to stand and speak when God is moving you? Certainly, we would, Quakers would agree that that is so. I try to look at charts, and there's plenty of them out there. For instance, New Hampshire was, for a very long time the freest place in America. Then it slipped down to lost to Florida. If you evaluate property ownership as a important part of how you consider freedom, and then pop back up, but then of course in the COVID chart it's like middle of the pack, like number 23. So it's hard to call it the freest place in America. Whereas Florida, where I've spent a great deal of this, the early part of this year, is, I think, number 5. And it's pretty darn free. It's almost like it was prior to the COVID, except that people are wearing masks when I go out.
Okay, so since the economy is a large factor for you, what are the specific items of the economy that you're looking at? You know, like whatever specific kind of tax or whatever. What are the actual specific economic line items you're looking at so I can understand?
Any tax. Anytime a government is demanding a tax is when an organization that claims a monopoly privilege on the use of violence in a given landmass demands from you money and then calls it voluntary.
Florida is where all of the other southern states are, where they have really bad drug laws.
No doubt. Florida
I think
is not
less likely to legalize marijuana.
Didn't they do something
they
for
did medical?
Medical.
And at this point, I don't think New Hampshire can claim anything about marijuana at this point.
We have decrim and medical.
Right. So decrim means that the sentences are now lower. And
that's
when you
correct.
Say medical, where can you go buy this medical marijuana?
There are no sentences for less than 3/4 of an ounce and less of cannabis and less than 5 grams of concentrate. You will get a $100 fine. And there's actually legislation that's been being introduced. I think it was introduced last year and it got put on the table or something like that. So
I would love to see New Hampshire.
The legislation is going to get rid of the fine as well.
Finally move into the 21st century and get rid of its marijuana laws. But drug its feet all the way.
If it gets rid of them, New Hampshire has the highest chance of any other state of actually just getting rid of them and replacing them with nothing. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but given that we actually have liberty-loving state representatives here in New Hampshire, which is unlike anywhere else, by the way, we've got, I think Dave Ridley claimed 30 of them earlier in the show tonight. That is not quite a tenth of the 400 state representatives that there are here in New Hampshire, but that's way more than any other state has anywhere.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.